Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd," is a hymn of the day for a Sunday that is, in kind of an informal way, a very special Sunday in the life of the church, where there's a confluence of readings that come together for a particularly focused view of our Savior as the Good Shepherd. It's dominated, of course, by Jesus' own words, "I am the Good Shepherd," but it's probably rivaled by the words of Christ as he speaks through the psalmist in the Old Testament, Psalm 23, where really a lot of times the hymns and the other readings are cueing off of that psalm, which is an unusual thing for a Sunday morning. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning this coming Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, according to the 3-year lectionary. Dr. Carl Fekencher joins us. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekencher, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. I appreciate it.
We've got two big texts that sit here on this Sunday morning, a kind of work in tandem, which a very obvious theme of Christ as Savior Shepherd. But Psalm 23 actually, in a lot of ways, rivals that of Jesus' own words, "I am the Good Shepherd." Why is it that when you talk to lay people, your favorite psalm, inevitably, in the top 5, if not the top 2, there's going to be Psalm 23 there? Why is that?
Oh, inevitably, no question about it. And I think there are a lot of reasons. One, of course, is the magnificence of the words themselves. When David, the shepherd who became king of Israel, was inspired by the Holy Spirit to picture the Lord as the one who shepherds his flock, who cares for us, you know, he could definitely see real live situations that even today we can picture. He could see green grass. He could see still waters. He could see danger. He knew how he had shepherded, cared for his sheep in these situations. So it's very, very vivid. And again, the Holy Spirit inspired him to see all those things that had happened to him in those situations in wonderful analogy to what the Lord does for us, the way he cares for us in danger, the way he provides for all of our needs. It's a beautiful, very, very vivid picture of what Christ is to us. That, of course, is the biggest element, I suppose. It also is very much the case that the familiarity of the use of the psalm has contributed to this. For one thing, there are a lot of people in our country who are only in church for one thing, maybe for their wedding, but definitely for funerals of family and friends. And the 23rd Psalm is the traditional appointed psalm for funerals. And it is so magnificently comforting in those moments where we talk about going through the valley of the shadow of death. My goodness, what a comfort that is when we have lost a loved one. And so it gets regular hearing there. And then there is this recurrence also during the church year, which we observe today. For many, many, many years, going far, far back beyond our day and our current lectionary, a Sunday after Easter or a Sunday of the Easter season has been appointed to be Good Shepherd Sunday, where the gospel reading comes from John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the Good Shepherd," and also the appointed psalm is the 23rd Psalm. And picks up this magnificent imagery. It has been in some lectionaries the third Sunday of the Easter season, or what used to be called the second Sunday after Easter, or in the current 3-year lectionary that we're discussing, the fourth Sunday of the Easter season, or the third Sunday after Easter, we refer to as the fourth Sunday of Easter, and we, without any apology, refer to it as Good Shepherd Sunday. So the 23rd Psalm has a magnificent priority. I'll read it, and then we'll see where that guides us the rest of the way. And most people really can almost recite this with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So many images there that are magnificent. Not all of them actually refer to a shepherd and sheep. But we start off that way. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That is to say, all the things that I need, the Lord provides. We picture the green pastures, we picture the still waters, and we know how that applies to us. The things that we need, whether it be food or love or security or safety, He is providing for us. He restores our souls. He comforts us when we have been through trauma and difficulty. And I think perhaps even the most vivid of all the images here in the psalm comes in the middle of the psalm, and in the fourth verse as we have it marked. Even though, or, you know, we remember the King James, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. That, to me, is perhaps the deepest and most beautiful image of all. The valley of the shadow of death, we can picture that. We can see the sun dipping low. We can see mountains around us. We're down below in the valley, and the shadow is descending on us. It's dark. We fear what happens after dark. We perhaps are on a lonely road, long from home, far from others. But here our shepherd is with us. He's leading us along, perhaps as a poor little lamb who has wandered away. But we're not afraid because you are with me. And that perhaps is the most the simplest expression of what Jesus has earned for us on the cross. When he died on the cross for us and removed the sin that separated us from God, he reconciled us to God so that God is with us. You are with me. Yes, even in the valley of the shadow of death. This, of course, is also a reminder of why this is so very appropriate during the Easter season. We continue to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, the gradual that we've been hearing all through the season of Easter continues today. Christ has risen from the dead. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He's given him dominion over the works of his hands. He's put all things under his feet. It's the fact that Christ has risen from the dead that he is able to escort us through the valley of the shadow of death. He's been to death and back. And that's why we don't fear, even when we face life's deepest and darkest threats. And the result, instead, the images beyond that move past the shepherd. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil. He gives us all kinds of opulent blessings. We picture the eternal feast that we will share with our Lord in heaven. And as the psalm concludes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There again, what a beautiful picture of how whatever happens, even death, does not separate us from God's love. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord will be with me, and I will be allowed to be with him in his place where his care is perfect and complete forever. The same kind of care that he is giving me as I am here on earth, being shepherded through all kinds of dangers and threats, even the valley of the shadow of death. A wonderful psalm for our Easter season as Christ has passed through death, and certainly a wonderful psalm for all of life, which then also, as you said, Todd, does set for us where we'll go through the rest of the propers for this fourth Sunday of Easter.
Well, let's take a little break here, and when we come back, we will look at the gospel reading, the other great text that drives this coming Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, with Jesus' words, "I am the Good Shepherd," in John chapter 10. And we'll also talk about the other propers for the coming Sunday. Dr. Carl Fikancher is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon. He's professor of pastoral ministry and missions at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Christians confess these words each week during the Divine Service. But have you ever wondered, who is the Holy Spirit? Join Curtis Giese, Jeffrey Oswald, Charles Gieschen, and others in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness as they consider the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Special highlights include a Bible study by Matt Richard and an original Pentecost hymn text by Mark Preuss. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Lutheran Federal Credit Union was formed to serve you and to serve the church. During May, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Dakota Boys and Girls Ranch. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU. Good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
A mobile Lutheran Bible study. You're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, Coordinator for Stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. lcms.org/stewardship. Stanza 2 of the hymn, "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is." We're looking forward to Good Shepherd Sunday with Dr. Carl Fikancher of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fikancher, take us into the gospel reading for this coming Sunday, the familiar ground of John chapter 10.
John chapter 10, this year, year C in the three-year lectionary, we read verses 22 through 30. Jesus is speaking with the Jews in a particular setting in Jerusalem, and here it is. At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This, the gospel reading for Good Shepherd Sunday, year C, is perhaps the least well-known of the three gospel lessons for this Sunday. All of them come from John chapter 10. The middle of the three is the best known by far. And this one builds very nicely after the previous. So just a quick recount. For year A, on the three-year lectionary, the gospel reading for this day is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10, where Jesus talks about the sheepfold and how the shepherd is the one who guards the sheepfold. In fact, he is the door of the sheep and enables them to go out and come in. But he is also the one who guards the door against those who might come to rob, against the thief who might try to break into the sheepfold. That's for year A. Then for year B, John chapter 10, verses 10 through 16 traditionally, or 10 through 18 as it's now in the newer lectionaries, this is the one that is the most familiar, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." He talks about how the hireling, the person who isn't the good shepherd, will take his pay, but as soon as it gets a little dangerous, he'll leave the sheep and run. The wolf will come and scatter the sheep. Jesus talks about how he, the good shepherd, will lay down his life even to save the sheep. No one can take his life from him. He lays it down of his own accord. The Heavenly Father is delighted to him for doing this very thing. And he also says that there are other sheep, not of this fold, that he must also call, so there will be one fold and one shepherd. Now, those are the first two readings on the Good Shepherd Sunday, the gospel readings for year A and year B. Here in year C, we have, again, a particular situation which builds on those previous. It's interesting. It takes place during the winter, the text says. In John 10, verse 22, it says it is the Feast of Dedication. This actually is a reference to what we observe now, or what the Jews today celebrate as Hanukkah. And it does actually have an historic value. It's the time when, after the temple was defiled in the 2nd century B.C., it was reestablished. There are myths, perhaps, attached to that. But it certainly was a time when God's people, in response to paganism, battled faithfully for the temple and for the faith. And so we see Jesus actually celebrating that dedication here in the temple. He's gone to Jerusalem for this event. He's walking the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. And the dialogue now turns rather dicey. From the conversations he's had, which have been so magnificent, when he's speaking especially to followers who are thrilled to hear that he is the good shepherd, that he lays down his life for them, now he gets the naysayers, the Jews who have been objecting to many things he's said already in the Gospel of John. They say, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus says, "I have told you, you don't believe, and I've done these miracles. They should testify of me, but you don't buy those either." And then he brings us back to this picture of the shepherd and the flock. He says, "The reason you don't believe is because you're not of my flock. You are unbelievers. You're not interested in me as your shepherd. You don't want me as your shepherd." He says, verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus, of course, even as he speaks, is inviting these naysayers to become members of his flock. He's inviting them also to hear these words, "My sheep hear my voice." He's speaking to them right now. He wants them to hear, to realize that these words he's been speaking about himself, laying down his life for the sheep, being the door for the sheep, being the one who cares for the sheep, he wants them to hear these words and realize how comforting they are, how assuring they are, how magnificent they are as being the way to the Father, the door to the Father. He wants them to be his sheep. And when they believe, he knows them and they follow him. Unfortunately, we don't see that response here among those who hear these words of Jesus. But he goes on, "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand." He goes on to say, "No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand," in verse 29. When we look at these three gospel readings for the A, B, and C year, it's interesting to see what stands out. What makes this year C a little bit different than years A and year B, where we saw Jesus depicted so fully as the Good Shepherd? And I think these last couple of verses are the ones that are most significant, that really stand out this time. When we look at this gospel reading for Good Shepherd Sunday, we see these wonderful words, "They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. This, again, is one of the most beautiful aspects of the Good Shepherd imagery, being with Jesus. We've said for him to accompany us through the valley of the shadow of death is a thing that is so magnificent, so very, very comforting, that he is with us in these most difficult times. And of course, this Easter season reminds us that not even death could take our dear shepherd away from us, that Jesus promises to be with us, caring for us, come what may. Nothing can snatch us out of the Heavenly Father's hands. Nothing can snatch us away from Christ himself. If we see this as perhaps the most significant or unique element of this year's Good Shepherd Sunday, then it brings me to my theme for this Sunday, and after the break we can look at how all the other propers, I think, also develop this theme. My theme for this Good Shepherd Sunday is this: no thing and no one else, even death, can separate the sheep from their Good Shepherd. No one can snatch us out of Christ's hands, out of the hands of the Heavenly Father, and even the valley of the shadow of death cannot separate us from Christ. Even Christ himself going into death, death on the cross, that certainly seemed to separate him forever from Peter and Andrew and James and John and all the others, even that could not take him away from them, separate them from Jesus, their Good Shepherd, continuing to care for them and uphold them.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, Good Shepherd Sunday, on this Wednesday afternoon, April the 13th. Our conversation will continue with him on the other side of the break in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. He is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. The Issues, Etc. book of the month for April is a story. It's a novel of sorts, but it's not fiction. It's actually nonfiction. It is the true story of one man's journey from overseeing executions in the Texas State Penitentiary to standing in the pulpit and preaching Christ. You can find out more about this book called The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Executioner's Redemption. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. On the other side of the break, Dr. Carl Fikencher will continue with us as we look forward to Sunday morning. Then we'll be talking with Georgia State Senator William Ligon about big business and religious liberty. He has written a piece for the Wall Street Journal, Why Are Companies Taking Sides Against Religious Liberty? Then we'll talk about the Norwegian Lutheran Church approving same-sex marriage with Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Are you looking for a first communion, confirmation, or graduation gift? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is the new bonded leather cover edition of Luther's Small and Large Catechisms. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040 and request the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Martin Luther's Small and Large Catechisms, 1-800-325-3040.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR9. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press. Saving Western civilization one student at a time.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Holy Cross Lutheran Church, Moline, Illinois, invites you to join us in receiving the Lord's gifts in word and sacrament. Sunday services are at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m., with Bible class and Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. We are located in the Quad Cities at 4107 21st Avenue, Moline, Illinois. Welcome in the name of our Lord.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Give your mom the gift of a clean home for Mother's Day with a gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Gift certificates can be purchased for as little as $75 for a partial clean. Go to gifts.thecleaningauthority.com, enter your contact information, and choose the amount. Give the gift of time for your mom with a Mother's Day gift certificate from The Cleaning Authority. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com. Gifts.thecleaningauthority.com.
Stanza 4 of the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd, is Dr. Carl Fekencher is our guest on this Wednesday afternoon. We're looking forward to Good Shepherd Sunday a little bit later in this hour. Georgia State Senator William Ligon will join us. We're going to talk about a piece he wrote for the Wall Street Journal on big business and religious liberty. And then we're going to spend some time with Dr. Al Culver, Director of Church Relations for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We'll talk about Monday's vote by the Norwegian Lutheran Church to allow same-sex marriage. Dr. Fekencher, you gave us the theme. I'd like, if you don't mind, just to repeat the theme as we look at the intro it for the coming Sunday.
Let's do that. My theme for all the propers this year, this Sunday, no thing and no one else, even death, can separate the sheep from their good shepherd. No thing and no one else, even death, can separate the sheep from their good shepherd. We saw in the gospel reading the magnificent kind of relationship that the psalmist in Psalm 23 already had given us. Jesus says in our gospel reading, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." The picture there is this intimate kind of withness, this kind of togetherness that is not broken by anything. The shepherd and the sheep, they know each other. There's a personal bond, and even death cannot snatch us away from our good shepherd. And of course, that was seen most vividly in Jesus' resurrection from the grave, when even his death could not separate the disciples and us from his love and care. And now that carries over very nicely into the other propers for Fourth Sunday of Easter, Year C. Here is the introit for this coming Sunday. "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, and I lay down my life for the sheep." No surprise there. That, of course, also comes from John chapter 10. The one thing of interest there on the antiphon, the verse I just read, is that the antiphon is also usually from the Psalms. So when the introit for this Good Shepherd Sunday takes it from the gospel reading, it's indicating what a powerful image we have there in the reading. Jesus is the Good Shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. And then the introit goes on. He chose, that is the Lord chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds, from following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. With upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with his skillful hand. But we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. We know, of course, Psalm 23 as the shepherd's psalm, and appropriately so, but this is Psalm 78, and the imagery of the shepherd is just as vivid. The thing it adds here in particular, which is very helpful, the Lord chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. David, of course, we know, was literally a shepherd, but now when we speak of David being chosen to be the shepherd of God's people, we're seeing David beyond just his role as a shepherd of literal sheep. Now, of course, God takes him from the sheepfold, literally, that is, from his old job, tending Jesse, his father's flocks. From following the nursing ewes, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, Israel, his inheritance. This, of course, is a reference to the Lord calling David to be the king of Israel. With upright heart, he shepherded them and guided them with a skilled hand. But it's a bigger picture yet than that, because David is a reference not just to the man, David, the shepherd who became king, but we know that we were told throughout the Old Testament and then in the New Testament that the Messiah would be the son of David. The Lord had promised David when he was king, when he was sitting on the throne, that he would establish his kingdom forever, not just an earthly kingdom, but that David's house would be built up to last forever, a promise that the Messiah would be a descendant of David. So when we say he chose David, his servant, we really are looking ahead also to Jesus Christ as the one who shepherds God's people, his inheritance. And that, of course, is what Jesus has done for us so lovingly in such a magnificent way, up to and even including laying down his life on the cross for us, his sheep. And then you notice what follows in the last verse of the introit, but we your people, the sheep of your pasture, that's us now, see, not just Old Testament Israel, we your people, the sheep of your pasture, will give thanks to you forever. From generation to generation, we will recount your praise. There's developing what we said again in the theme. We have this magnificent shepherd, Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the one who would lay down his life for us, who will shepherd us forever. From generation to generation, that promise would continue. Nothing, nobody else, and no thing, not even death, can separate the sheep from their good shepherd.
The collect for the coming Sunday, does it also echo this very strong theme?
It does very well, with, of course, the imagery of the shepherd, but also what is specific to this year C that we've just been looking at. Here's the collect, here's the prayer that we pray for this coming Sunday. Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls each of us by name and follow where he leads, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, and so on. Of course, we have here the very, very clear reference to Easter. We continue to celebrate Easter because the Heavenly Father has wakened from death the shepherd of the sheep. When our shepherd, our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, died, it certainly seemed as if all bets were off, as if we were cut off from him and therefore cut off from God forever. But when the Heavenly Father wakened from death the shepherd of the sheep, wakened from death Jesus Christ, brought him back from the dead, then once again our shepherd was with us. That meant even death could not cut us off from our good shepherd. But there is a significant element here to remember. We do still pray in this petition, as the believer in us prays every day, that we would continue to hear his voice, continue to know him who knows us so beautifully by name, and continue to follow where he leads. It's significant, you know, in our theme we said this, no thing and no one else, even death, can separate the sheep from their good shepherd. Jesus said in our gospel reading that no one is able to snatch us out of his hand, out of the Father's hand. The only risk to those of us who are believers in Christ is that we ourselves will cut ourselves off from our eternal salvation in Christ. How? Well, by ignoring the means of grace, by keeping ourselves away from the Word, where he continues to feed us, from the sacrament, where he gives us the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, and cease to believe these wonderful words that he has given to us. And so while no one else can snatch us away, and even death can't cut us off, we pray that God who lives, that Christ who has risen from the dead, will continue to graciously shepherd us, to keep us in the faith and keep us following him. And that, for us today, as believers in Christ, is the wonderful assurance that we cling to day after day. Through his word, through his sacrament, Christ, the good shepherd, will continue to shepherd us, will continue to keep us in the faith, keep us believing, so that we continue to be his sheep.
The first lesson that would ordinarily be the Old Testament reading during Easter, of course, is from the book of Acts. This is Acts 20, where Paul talks with the Ephesian pastors. What's going on there?
Acts chapter 20, verses 17 through 35. I won't read all of it, but selected parts. And it likewise carries this out, this Good Shepherd Sunday theme, very nicely. Now, from Miletus, he, Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them, St. Paul is returning from his third missionary journey, now back, headed back toward Jerusalem, and he wants to bid farewell to those that he has engaged in mission work in Ephesus, specifically, though, the elders, that is, the pastors who have been established over the church in Ephesus and the other cities of Asia, Western Asia Minor, as we would know it today. And St. Paul then goes through a very important, shall we say, valedictory address to these pastors, a last opportunity to strengthen them in faith, to remind them of tears and trials that have happened to him, but how he did not shrink from declaring to them all that was profitable and teaching them, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, to declare what Jesus has done by his death on the cross to bring us forgiveness of our sins. And then, now behold, I am going to Jerusalem constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Be careful, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock, and here's the shepherd imagery, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood, the death of Jesus on the cross. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. You see what St. Paul is doing here. Now, Paul, who has been won by the Good Shepherd and has proclaimed the Good Shepherd, Jesus, his death, his laying down his life for the sheep, to the people of Ephesus, to the pastors of the churches of Asia, as he has declared Christ the Good Shepherd to them, now St. Paul is reminding them that he has been their shepherd, and they, as pastors, are to be shepherds to the flock. He says, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has made you shepherds now, pastors over these flocks of God's sheep. And there is great danger for them because wolves will come in afterward, not sparing the flock, but seeking to take them away from the Good Shepherd. What Paul then says is he goes on to commend them to God to keep them in faith. And as the lesson ends, it says there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they accompanied him to the ship. St. Paul will not see these pastors, these under-shepherds, again. And there, of course, is great sadness at that separation, even weeping. But this is a magnificent expression, again, of what we are seeing in our theme for this Sunday. St. Paul, the shepherd to these shepherds, is leaving. But even as St. Paul leaves and is therefore separated from them, we're reminded that no thing and no one else, even death, can separate the sheep from their good shepherd, because Christ continues to be with them even as St. Paul is now distant. They will continue to be faithful shepherds to the flock placed under them, because Christ, the good shepherd, will never cease to care for them. And this is true, you know, even when a congregation nowadays loses its pastor, its shepherd, they never really have lost their good shepherd, because even in a vacancy, looking forward to the next human pastor to care for them, Christ is still their shepherd caring for them and always will.
Dr. Carl Fikencher is our guest. We're looking forward to Sunday morning. 10 more minutes with him on the other side of the break as we continue to walk through the propers for this coming Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday. And then when we are done with our conversation with him, we are going to take up the subject of big business and religious liberty with Georgia State Senator William Ligon, author of a recent column for the Wall Street Journal titled, Why Are Companies Taking Sides Against Religious Liberty?
Many patients are upset to learn that doctors don't take the Hippocratic Oath anymore.
National Review columnist Wesley Smith talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's a real shame, because the Hippocratic Oath protects patient safety. The speech I will give at the conference will describe the consequences of violating Hippocratic values in healthcare and the things that can occur in the healthcare system if we move away from Hippocratic medicine to a more utilitarian bioethics.
You can meet and hear Wesley Smith making the case for the Hippocratic Oath at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. Attendance is limited to 500. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
Final stanza of the hymn, The King of Love, My Shepherd, is sung by the choir of the King's School. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, Good Shepherd Sunday, with Dr. Carl Fikencher. You can, by the way, listen to Dr. Fikencher wax eloquent on making the case for law and gospel preaching at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June the 10th and the 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's about 15 miles east of St. Louis. He'll be joined by Dr. Larry Rast, Pastor Will Whedon, Adrian Dorheinz, Pastor Chris Roseborough, Pastor Jonathan Fisk, and Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller. Registration for the conference is $100, and that includes three meals. You can find out more, and you can register by calling 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, or go to our website, issuesetc.org. It's the fourth annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 10th, and Saturday, June the 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. Dr. Fikencher, take us into the second reading, which would be Revelation 7. What do we find there?
Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. This, as we've pointed out the last couple of weeks, is continuing a reading through the book of Revelation. This is our third consecutive Sunday to look at a reading from Revelation, somewhat what we're doing with the first reading from Acts. And, of course, Revelation is also a very appropriate cutting to examine during the season of Easter, because we have those glimpses of heaven. And when we see Jesus rising from the grave above all else, it assures us that we will also rise to live with God forever in heaven. Revelation chapter 7 has that vision where John sees the 144,000 in heaven. By no means, as some would say, the meaning that heaven is now filled, but he sees a picture of all the different tribes being represented, which is a wonderful picture of all people being represented there in heaven. And now, beginning at verse 9, our reading for this coming Sunday. After this, I looked, John himself says, I looked, I saw a vision. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, Who are these, clothed in white robes, and from where have they come? I said to him, Sir, you know. And he said to me, These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This lesson, actually, it could be relevant at almost any time. It's such a magnificent picture of the culmination of all things. It fits beautifully in this Easter season. But it really is quite generally magnificent. The great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, all tribes, peoples, languages, isn't it magnificent to recognize that when we are in heaven, we will see people across the centuries, across any kind of racial or ethnic lines, from all over the world, family, people we'd never met before, friends, people with whom we'd not even gotten along very well. Now with our sins forgiven, now we are close, we are tight, clothed in white robes, that is, washed of all of our sins, palm branches in our hands, waving and celebrating the salvation that belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We see the angels celebrating, and there with the elders, we see those who are clothed in white robes and are asked, where do they come from? Who are these? And John says, well, you know, he's saying, please, tell me. The answer, these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The great tribulation, of course, is a picture of the suffering that is very much a part of life here on earth. And it certainly will continue to be a part of life here on earth as Satan realizes his time is short. He has only so much time left to deceive those who he wishes to draw to be with him forever outside the presence of God. And among his weapons will be the death of the saints. These are those who have come out of the Great Tribulation. We picture specifically the martyrs in their white robes, those who have died for the faith of Christ Jesus, those who have given their lives rather than apostatize, rather than fall away from faith in Christ Jesus. We recognize that that's the worst that Satan can dole out. The worst the enemies of God can come up with is to kill us, to take away our lives. And of course, that always seems like it is the end, like it is separation. But as we've been saying in our lessons today, we realize that really isn't the end at all. It goes on, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. That's the magnificent image we've been seeing in this Good Shepherd Sunday all along, the presence of Christ, the withness of Christ. He is with us to provide for cooling water, for green grass. He is with us through the valley of the shadow of death. He will shelter them with his presence. The thing that is most precious to believers always is that God is with us. And it develops in all kinds of ways. They hunger no more, thirst no more, the sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. When God is with us, he is providing all the things that we need, from shelter to food to water, all the things that we need, we know we have when he is with us. And finally, verse 17 gives us that image that has been so predominant all the way through today, through our lessons for this fourth Sunday of Easter. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Christ has been our shepherd every day through this life. He was David's shepherd. In the Old Testament, David was able to wax so poetically about the Lord caring for him because Christ was with him when he was tending the sheep. Christ was with him when he was fleeing from King Saul. Christ was with him when he was on the throne facing all the trials and threats of enemies and danger that would face the nation of Israel as David had the duty of leading them. Christ has been with his disciples in the first century when he led them for 3 years in their ministry on earth. The day came that it seemed that Christ was separated from them forever, that death had surely taken the good shepherd away from his sheep. But no, Jesus rises from the dead. Even death cannot separate the shepherd and the sheep. And so now we look into heaven, and we see that even there in heaven, when there is no danger, when there are no threats, there is no death, there is no sin, yet there, Christ the Lamb is in the midst of them. He still now, for all eternity, will be their shepherd, and he will even there guide them to the springs of living water. This is what we look forward to in heaven, to have Christ with us just as he has been with us now, but seeing him face to face with that magnificent assurance, no longer but by faith, but now by sight, that he is our shepherd guiding us in every need, every moment.
Dr. Carl Fekancher is professor of pastoral ministry and missions, teaching primarily in the area of preaching at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Fekancher, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you so much, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time talking about something I think most people have noticed this. Have you? Happened in Indiana, recently happened in Georgia as well. When religious liberty bills come to a state legislature, guess who comes out of the woodwork to oppose them, to threaten the state? Big business. We'll talk about big business and religious liberty in Georgia with Georgia State Senator William Ligon right after this. Nadia Bolz Weber calls for a sexual reformation in her latest book, Shameless. How does her reformation compare with the truths rediscovered during the 16th century Reformation? I've written a review of Shameless in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button on the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Andrew Abraham details his journey from Catholic priest to Lutheran pastor. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Church music directors can find a new community at Prelude to Postlude, the CPH music blog. Learn helpful tips for managing music ministry and involving members, and meet the composers of some of your favorite new pieces. Plus, find suggestions of music to use for special services, and preview some of our newest works with free samples you can use at your church. Visit us at preludetopostlude.org.
If you appreciate Issues Etc., Talk Radio for the Thinking Christian, and Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.
Do you long for a church that has ancient roots and yet contemporary significance, that is at once Catholic, Orthodox, Evangelical, and Protestant? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find a church near you that preaches and teaches the faith once for all delivered to the saints at issuesetc.org.